Just a few quick takeaways. First thing is, when we give you the ashes, we're going to say, remember that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. First of all, remember. That's a very liturgical term. This is the memorial of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. We remember, okay? And in this liturgy, we're remembering our mortality, because we have a tendency to not think about that very often. Who wants to think about their death, you know? And you know, human culture, this is not just modern Americans. All through the ages, people have been looking for the fountain of youth. We've hated aging. We've pushed off death and tried to deny it. And the gospel is always just pushing death right in our face. And Jesus says, well, he didn't say this in these words, but basically, I never promised you wouldn't die. I promised you would rise from death. And so we Christians are fearless about death. We face into it. We speak of it in the liturgy over and over again. We don't try to deny it. We own it. Why? Because we don't believe it's the final word. We don't believe that we're going to die forever. We're just going to die. There's going to be a change. In the funeral liturgy, from the preface, in death, life is changed, not ended. And when this earthly body dies, it will rise and share in the very glory of Christ. Okay, second thought. St. Paul says we are ambassadors of reconciliation, that God has reconciled the world to himself. And Paul understands this very well, and he says it in so many words in that text. This was God's initiative. Now, in the first reading from the prophet Joel, he encourages people to call a fast, gather the assembly, you know, have a big penitential liturgy, repent of our sins, and then God will hear that, and he will take mercy on us. And there's that notion throughout the scriptures for sure. But one of Paul's favorite themes is, it isn't something that we had to ask for. While we were still sinners, God died for us. He offered his life on the cross. He became the sacrificial victim, the sacrificial lamb, not because it was our idea, and not because we asked him to do that, but on God's own initiative, he did that. And not only is God reconciling the world to himself, but he's doing it in this way that we humans probably would never have dreamed up, that he takes on our humanity in order to teach us how to take on his divinity. The way Paul says it, he who knew no sin was made sin for us. It's an amazing thought. He who was God and therefore could never have known sin became sin for us. He took on the frailty, the weakness, the sin of the human condition in order to show us that a human being can live in the muck and the mire of this world in holiness and justice and truth, and that God can take on our human sin, our human frailty, and transform it from within. Well, we're entering into Lent, and isn't that what Lent is largely about? It's this reconciliation. It's the return to God, who has first returned to us. He took the initiative, and our response is just kind of an overwhelming, you know, being blown away by that grace, by that mercy, by that infinite love, that we want to come running back to God. Well, throughout the year, most of us have strayed in some way or another. We've got off point. We've you know, denied death. We've been like the rest of the world in so many ways. It's so important that the church for so many centuries has given us this season of Lent to celebrate reconciliation, to celebrate return, to get our lives back on track, back on point, you know, to make that determination about what's really valuable and what really matters. Because the world is pushing 60 different things that are supposed to matter. And there's really only one. And that's our relationship with God and with one another. And so we want to return to that. We want to get back to that.